It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two here on Danny and Dusty on a Football Friday. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. Whether you're listening along on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Football Friday. It's craptastic outside. I almost said craptacular. Which sounds better? Craptastic or craptacular?
I think I'm partial to craptacular.
Craptacular?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll file that one away for later. There's a couple of big football games in the NFL this weekend. Not necessarily because of the implications that they'll have for the playoffs. Oh, my God, we're already there. But some teams could get buried, and some teams could run away with divisions. As of right now, there are two divisions in the AFC that could be blown open by wins this weekend. If the Buffalo Bills beat the Baltimore Ravens, the Bills will move to 4-0. The Ravens will fall to 1-3.
Ouch.
The Browns are 1-2, and the Bengals are 0-3. So the best possible outcome, if the Ravens lose for that division, is the only other team that could be 500 is the Browns. Now, the Browns are playing
atrocious,
but they are playing the Raiders. And have you seen the Raiders injury report?
Yeah.
Sweet Marian Moses.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, first off, no Max Crosby and no Davante Adams.
Goodness gracious.
I think I saw three other starters are out too.
Oh my God. Look, I wanted the Raiders to lose every game. Absolutely unequivocally. They are missing Davante Adams, Max Crosby, their two best players, bar none. One of their tackles, Thayer Munford. Their starting middle linebacker, Divine Diablo. Tight end, Michael Mayer, who's their number two tight end. And they run a ton of tight end sets. And Damarian Richardson, one of their corners.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Those are already ruled out. That isn't even the questionable. Let's test this and see how things go on Sunday group, right? And everybody's like, well, the Browns are missing David Njoku. And I'm just like, okay. I don't know how much you know about the Raiders, but they suck. They just lost to Andy Dalton and the Panthers.
Yeah.
The Browns still, as of right now, are 2-point favorites. Why? Because Deshaun Watson sucks and blows at the same time.
Yes.
It is truly, truly impressive level of ineptitude. That is by far the worst game on the docket this weekend. And you can say maybe Washington, Arizona, New England, San Francisco, or Cincinnati, Carolina.
Washington, Arizona, that could at least be entertaining.
I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Kyler and
Jaden Daniels.
And
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's got some juice.
Mm-hmm.
The other game here that I'm watching very closely is Minnesota-Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota-Green Bay looks spicy. Two good teams. The Packers are playing cat and mouse with Jordan Love. He's questionable.
Yes. I think I did see he trotted out some at practice today.
Sure. Uh-huh. I would love if I could get all of the owners in the NFL in the room and collectively slap them all and go, stop. Stop allowing your teams to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Just quit pretending like you're hiding your war plans.
Right.
This isn't Normandy. You don't have to fake invade another beach. We all know the quarterback with one leg isn't playing.
Right.
Stop it. Stop it. Utah, this goes to you too, Kyle Whittingham. It is your one flaw. I love you. You're a handsome man and a fantastic coach. Stop trying to convince us Cam Rising is playing. God.
Did that all last season too,
right?
Didn't he?
Yes. It's so ridiculous. Like, well, then, you know, we don't know until like his leg, like you could have a guy, a leg amputated. Well, you know, we're going to make sure that the prosthetic fits. It's like, okay, guys, stop. But Green Bay with Matt LaFleur has done an incredibly great job with Malik Willis
mm-hmm.
in getting very ingenious with their run fits and the run schemes. I was talking to Suk about it. They ran the ball, was it 53 times against the Colts?
That's a lot.
It was an insane amount. But he said, it was really interesting watching that game. The Packers threw a lot of window dressing out there. They basically, they fired both cannons. They gave them all the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
how do you kind of cover up for that? Because NFL teams, college teams, you know, they'll take a while to adapt. And, you know, you need enough film and you need enough game planning. You need the athletes to do it. NFL, week to week, they're making the adjustments. The only time you really don't see that was when the Wildcat came to the NFL. It took about a month for everybody to catch on to that Ricky Williams, Ronnie Brown Dolphins shenanigans. Like, what the hell is this? And then they snuffed it out. Now, occasionally you'll see it pop up from time to time. But the Packers have been able to patchwork some stuff with Malik Willis, getting him out of the pocket, extending plays, and being productive and playing complimentary football. But Minnesota Vikings, Sam Darnold, been out there kicking ass and taking names. I mean, they have been a very, very, very good team.
Mm-hmm.
I am very interested to see how this game goes because Minnesota in Green Bay, historically problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Playing in Green Bay for everyone sucks. It's
right.
A great crowd, it's a hostile environment on the road. It is what it is. But you take a look at that division, and if the Vikings can win that game, they'll go to 4-0 with the Lions, Packers, both trailing probably at 2-2. Mm-hmm. And you start getting week after week after week in a division that's very strong. The AFC North and the NFC North both are in this kind of same boat of like, there's some teams that maybe are overperforming, but also some teams that are underperforming.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0.
Yeah.
They have the Colts.
Overperforming.
And again, if the Ravens lose and they fall to 1-3, and the Bengals are 0-3, and they're probably going to get Carolina, they're going to go 1-3. But you're going to have a bunch of teams that are sitting at 1-3 in a division that's supposed to be great. Meanwhile, the Steelers are 4-0.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's a nice little cushion early on in the season.
When injuries start hitting and you can lose a game or two, there are some swings this weekend that I think you can see in the NFL that are going to be huge from a standings position,
mm-hmm.
which in week four probably shouldn't be a thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seems pretty early in the season, you know.
Okay. We are at the quarter pole or.
Basically.
Basically. That whole 17th game.
Just, I know, right?
What? 17? Like, I know we had to, like, stretch it out to get to 18 eventually, but 17 is such a stupid number, right?
It is. It's dumb.
Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
They only did that with sights on eventually getting to 18, and you can't just jump straight to 18 from 16.
I mean, you could.
I mean, you could, but.
I mean, did we go to 15?
I thought
we went from 14 to 16. Did we go to 15 games?
I don't think they did.
I think we just made a jump.
I think it went straight from 14 to 16.
Yeah.
Even back then they're like, look, round number of games.
You want to be able to finish 500.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You could sell it. Hey, we're a 500 team.
Yeah.
7-7, 8-8. Now 8-9?
That is some 8-9 BS.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
Right.
It just doesn't work. You need an 8-10.
Yeah.
Also, that sounds weird, though.
9-9.
Fine. Well, I mean, that 500. But he's like, it's 7-9.
12-6.
Going to double digits.
Yeah.
The 7-9 or the 8-10 be like 7-9. You're like, yeah, you know, a coin toss, you know, no big deal. But 8-10 sounds worse.
Right.
Why does that sound worse?
It
does sound worse, right?
Yeah. Well, then you get to 7-11. Then you got what? Defenses that are always open.
Oh, I'm glad you made that reference before some pinhead somewhere. Who are they talking about? I'm trying to think which team? Who's the, you know
I
what?
I guess in that vein, you know why does 7-11 have locks on their doors?
No, Dallas. Perfect.
Yeah.
Dallas. There
we go.
They finished the season 7-11. That's perfect. And it's fitting because their defense is always open.
Yeah.
You know, you like it.
You're welcome.
There you go. We got that out of the way. Dan Orlovsky. That's an Orlovsky line, right? Right?
Exactly.
I don't know which way you're going with that.
Go eat some plain chicken breasts.
Wow. Really?
Oh, no. He's the one, like, we joke about me having the palate of an 8-year-old. He's got the palate of, like, a 4-year-old. He's just, they give him hell for it, like, on the Twitters and on NFL Live all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll pivot back to some NFL here in a little bit, but let's talk to some Ducks college football as they get ready to take on the UCLA Bruins. Coming up here next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Tomorrow night, after the sun has gone way down and the moon is super high in the sky, the Pac-12, I mean the Big Ten matchup featuring the Oregon Ducks and the UCLA Bruins. The Ducks get away; they get their first Big Ten matchup against UCLA.
Yeah, it's almost like it feels very anticlimactic.
It's very weird, right?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
But they will take, the Ducks will take on the Bruins at 8 o'clock kick, which means a kick that's probably going to be at like 8:12.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Against a UCLA team that has, so far through three games, Jeff Russ, do you know how many points they've scored through three games?
Ooh, UCLA?
UCLA. Where would you think they...
Three games.
Through three games.
Are we under 20?
No, we were under 50.
Oh, okay. Three, okay. But what they've given up is a lot.
They are 3 points off of being doubled up.
Yikes.
Through three games.
Yikes.
They have scored 46 points.
Oh, okay.
Given up 89.
Man.
If you're wondering, through three games, what's sad about this is the team behind them in scoring, Kent State, has played four games. The other teams have all played three games.
By the way, they scored 43 points. No, I'm sorry. You're correct.
46.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up my columns here.
I hope so. Because
no, you're correct.
They have the actual points scored for me right
yes.
here. If they had it wrong, I was going to be very disappointed.
Sorry, I was just pulling up the schedule.
And, oh, no. You trying to do math?
I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Yeah,
it happens. Miami, Ohio. The nation's worst scoring offense at 25 points, total points through three games. Unfortunately, number two, my Air Force Falcons.
Oof.
31 total points through three games. Kennesaw State, 36 total points through three games. And again, Kent State through four games, 41 points. For those doing the math, that is 10.25 points per game.
Yeah.
That is...
Yeah, that's no good.
But UCLA and Deshaun Foster... 46 points through three games.
Yeah, that's not great, Bob.
Again, they have given up 89, which is slightly better than Kent State's 205.
just slightly.
To be clear, Kent State has scored 41 through four games, 10.25, given up 205. So if you're doing the math there, they're scoring 10.25 and giving up 50. Point
51.
No, 51
and a quarter.
Point 25
yeah.
points per game.
Wow.
They're being outscored on average by 41 and a half points. Or 41
Stinky.
And a quarter. They are the worst team in football by, I can't even quantify
yeah.
that.
Yeesh.
It is very bad. It is awful.
Do we have to take away the name the Golden Flashes and make it more like the Copper Flashes?
Turd Flashes?
Well, if you make it the Copper Flashes, at least then the meth heads might want it.
It's true. They will strip it down. They will strip it down. There's no doubt about that. So UCLA is the fifth worst scoring offense in the country, and they had the 78th best scoring defense in the country. They are atrocious.
Yeah.
By, again, every single level. The Oregon Ducks have an opportunity to kind of go out there and really right this ship, right? As it goes for them going forward, this is where the schedule starts to pick up, and you want to make sure you're playing your best football. Unfortunately, Oregon may have some injuries on the offensive line still. Or, we'll see come game time what it looks like.
Bedford kind of got re-injured a little bit during the bye week.
Bye week, which is when you're hoping to get healthy.
Right.
And then after UCLA, you have Michigan State and Ohio State at home. Now, again, that is not murderer's row when you're talking about UCLA, Michigan State, Ohio State. But you're getting gradually...
You're ramping up.
You're ramping up, yes. 100%, particularly that Ohio State game on October 12th.
Well, then even Michigan State, that's a Friday night game, too, and weird stuff always happens on Fridays.
And look, Michigan State, they're not great. Aiden Childs has had some, holy crap, what are you doing, dude, moments. But...
Jonathan Smith has a bit of familiarity with Oregon.
The program and how to attack them and how to exploit certain things, and I think that's certainly going to play a part. I still expect Oregon to win that game handily.
Mm-hmm.
But I, if you're a Duck fan, if you're a Duck supporter, if you are looking at the Ducks to have that opportunity to run the table, this is your get-right area. You've had your bye week. You don't. That's it. You know, you're not getting that other opportunity. So, what does this look like for you as you go down the stretch?
Well, I'd like to believe with, like you said, Michigan State and Ohio State coming up after this, that oftentimes...
Don't look past this game?
Well, oftentimes, yes. This could be a look-ahead game, but I'm not sure that that's the case coming out of a bye week. I feel like that helps remedy some of that.
And I can't remember who it was. One of the Duck players said the doctor has had some real medicine for us this week. And I would imagine... Look, Dan Lanning in press conferences is... and hype videos is fun and endearing. And you're like, that man knows how to chew ass like you would not believe.
I would imagine, yeah.
So I imagine those film sessions where they struggled in some areas, the come to Jesus moments were very profound and highlighted. I don't think anybody who had subpar efforts or subpar execution got away with anything. Now, you had a great win against Oregon State. You kind of move on from that now, and you have the bye week.
It looks like they put some things together for that one.
But if you're banged up on your offensive line again,
right?
We saw them struggle against lesser. I mean, look, they struggle against Idaho.
Yeah.
Idaho. Yeah. Look, and you can say everything went Idaho's way and Oregon shot themselves in the foot. But a lot of it was self-inflicted because they had issues on the offensive line.
Yes.
And if that rears its ugly head, I don't think UCLA is going to be a problem. But this is a mark-the-box win.
Yeah.
Get through the game, handle business, get better, come out healthy. Like, that's the order of operations for this game.
Yes.
Is there any other part of this where you're like, meh, well, let's see this or that or... Because I am 100% on the mind of it is more important for you to make sure you're getting things right, that you're tightening up execution, you're not hurting yourself, no self-induced penalties,
right.
Turnovers, anything of that nature, and then get the hell out of there healthy.
Yes.
Like, this is not a stat padding. Let's not make sure we get Dylan Gabriel 500 yards and up his Heisman campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the margins right now on the offensive line are too thin for that.
Right. Yeah. Well, so that, you know... It makes you wonder that not that the coaches and whatnot are concerned about this, but 25.5, that's a big one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be 41.5 if they're playing Kent State.
Yeah.
But that's not the biggest line we've seen.
No.
What was the line against Idaho? Wasn't it 30 something?
Or at least.
Yeah, I want to say it was like 34.
Okay.
If I remember right, that was a massive.
I don't remember if there was maybe a 4 in the front of it.
Yeah, it might have been 44.
Yeah.
But it was a massive line, which I go nowhere near ever, unless it's like Georgia against, you know.
Yeah. But if this goes the way that you're talking, where it's about getting right and figuring things out, then that seems like, you know.
I don't think you cover that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Again, we've talked about this a little bit, but with the 12-team playoff, it's not about style points.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Yeah, now you've got a little more wiggle room.
Handle business.
Yeah.
Handle business. Now, look, in the end, if you're vying for seeding, you know, you probably wish you would have handled Idaho better or handled Boise State better.
Yeah.
Or if it's somehow within 25 against UCLA, you wish you had the more emphasis on a righteous butt kicking.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't play that game now. You don't have, it's not that Oregon doesn't have the depth, it's that their depth is being tested right now.
Yes.
That's the problem, exactly. Is that you've already kind of exhausted some of your interior line depth, and you're like, okay, we need to get healthy here. And so I think that the biggest thing for me is make sure you handle business, but make sure you get out of this healthy before you get into the real, you know, gist of Big Ten play.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird to say.
I know. It's still tough to get used to.
You know?
Still tough to get used to.
But yeah, UCLA, Oregon, that historical Big Ten matchup.
Yes. Yeah.
Welcome to Big Ten football in LA featuring the UCLA Bruins and the Oregon. Wait, what? I hear Big Ten football in LA, I think, the Rose Bowl.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Big Ten versus Pac-12.
Super weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how to wrap my head around that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, coming up next, we're going to have our worst day on the web, and we're actually going to keep it in the Big Ten because there was some news that came through about the other and more important school in L.A. and a potential lawsuit coming up. First, here's the Big Kahuna with the Sports and Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Sheehan Jayaraja of CBS Sports is reporting that Reggie Bush, the illustrious Heisman Trophy winner. Good God. Reggie Bush, the Heisman Trophy winning.
I'm sure he'll wind up being a college football Hall of Famer.
I'm just trying to not talk without chewing on my tongue. What is going on today? Reggie Bush, the Heisman Trophy winning running back,
there we go,
from USC, is suing USC, the Pac-12, and the NCAA for lost NIL. We have talked about the proposed deal between the NCAA and, oh my God, we do not have enough time to go through all of the co-filers for the name, image, and likeness. But to name a few, Reggie Bush, the North Carolina State Wolfpack team from 1983, I believe the entirety of one, again, the Ivy League schools,
Northwestern, yeah,
in their union stuff. Like, it is a list a mile.
Was it Brown or Princeton?
I can't remember, but it's the list of plaintiffs is a mile long. And they set aside originally $2 billion, and that was moved to $4 billion. Ultimately, I believe it's going to double again. It's going to end up at $8 billion, and it's going to bankrupt the NCAA. And they're going to end up paying it, but they're going to end up going away and coming back as nothing more than a minor institution that runs all of the other sports outside of football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I think it's going to go crazy, is because I don't care where you went to school. I don't care where you grew up. If you watched college football from 2003 to 2005, Reggie Bush was the best player in college football and was the face of the nation in sports.
Yep. Yeah.
College football, NFL, basketball, baseball, it did not matter. That number five jersey was everywhere.
Yeah.
He was used in every commercial. He was used in every promotional thing. College game day, ESPN, NBC, whoever had it, was pumping Reggie Bush, Reggie Bush, Reggie Bush, Reggie Bush, and he did not see a penny of that. He and Tim Tebow might be the single biggest names that can absolutely hammer the NCAA for damages.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I can you think of two bigger names that carried more weight nationally than those two?
No, I mean, you could maybe try to throw Vince Young in there.
Vince was the next closest one, but
his
was more like 1 year.
Yeah.
And you could say the same thing about Baker. Trying to think who else was. Johnny Manziel, I think, was in that same. But I think those guys were all 1 year. Tebow and Bush both had 2 years of holy crap.
Yeah.
And because monoculture was still a thing, we were in the infancy of social media. Reggie Bush at USC was the one. Like, that was, look, you can talk about Leinart and you can talk about Lindale and you can talk about all the linebackers and all that stuff. That's fine. Reggie Bush was the face of not just college football, but of sport in North America at that time. And the amount of money, when you do the calculations behind this, is going to be drastic. Remember, Reggie Bush also has a defamation lawsuit ongoing against the NCAA. In which they said he took part in pay for play.
Right.
So Reggie's basically saying, I didn't, but I am now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm always, anytime anybody gives two double birds to the NCAA, I'm always going to be behind it.
Absolutely.
Especially when it costs them all that money, because all of these executives and commissioners, they line their pockets on the backs of athletes. And you're like, well, it's going to be difficult to come up with that money. It's like, well, we really should. Maybe you should liquidate one of your seven houses that you made off the backs of these players.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't do anything to earn that money. You don't. Mm. And the amount of money that was generated off of these players is astronomical. What are we going to do? It was like the other day when we were talking about the land that UCLA and the oil company are using, and the oil company saying, we'll up our profit retention rate to the disabled veterans from 2.5% to 5.5%. And the judge in that case said, you'll up it to 51% because it's not yours to begin with.
Right.
And that's exactly the same situation here, where the money was never the executives and the big time kowtowing, commissioners and everybody else, the movers and shakers, the universities, to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't see in here, in any of the information that's been presented in the lawsuit, is just how much Reggie Bush is suing for.
Right.
There's nowhere in here that indicates Reggie Bush is suing for X. I would imagine Reggie Bush could sue for literal millions.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was gonna guess eight figures.
I mean, would 10 million not out of the question?
No. Yeah. I mean, I feel like
To be honest, 25 million isn't out of the question.
Like, I would probably start at about the 10 million.
At bare minimum.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the lowest I would go.
Right.
Because in all reality, it's nothing. It's peanuts to what they have.
Again,
They started at what, a 2 and then went up to 2.8. I believe it's just short of $4 billion that they've set aside now. It's weird how they were able to find almost $2 billion like that.
Hey, look what we found.
Weird. It's a lot like in Las Vegas finding $100,000.
Yes.
Weird. It's not a worst day on the web for Reggie Bush. Don't get it twisted.
No.
I'm glad he's doing this.
Yeah.
It's a worst day on the web for the NCAA. It's a worst day on the web for the USC, to be honest. And it's a worst day on the web for the Pac-12. Because it won't just be the NCAA on the hook for the damages here. That USC bookshop that was selling those Reggie Bush jerseys for $350 a pop.
Right.
Reggie didn't see any of that money.
Nope, not a dime.
And you can say, well, he had the Escalade in the house. Like, well, again, much like the University of Las Vegas not having a contract with Matthew Sluka, there's no contract. Who are you going to report that Escalade in that house to?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There's no cops you can go report that to. And they already tried that. And guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what Reggie has back now? His Heisman and his records reinstated.
Yep. Just like, yeah, and he should. They did the right thing, finally.
Well, the funny thing about that is, by doing that...
They acknowledged
that they might have actually greenlit this lawsuit.
Yeah.
Mwah!
Yeah, exactly, right? they were probably thinking all along, like, hey, you know, if we just give this back, then maybe, you know, maybe this all goes away. Clearly not.
Well, I think part of it was... You did drag his name through the mud for 15-ish years.
Yeah.
Because they officially took it in 2010, but it was 3 years of, you know, back and forth. And, you know, he shouldn't have this. He's dirty. He took the money. Blah, blah. And it's like, I think it's a fair roundabout play.
Yeah.
So that's our worst day on the web today. I'm going to keep it in college football. Kirk Cignetti is currently rising, skyrocketing up my list of coaches in college football that, boy, do I just love it when there's a mic around. We'll get to that in Mark and Beyond, Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. I don't know what's going on in the world of football right now, college and NFL, but I like it.
Yeah.
You've heard me say it more times than I could count. I hate Bill Belichickian coaching and player styles. We're on to Cincinnati. It's a product. Promote it. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
It's all very dumb when we're sitting here pretending like this is some buttoned up business / you know, corporate meeting.
Mm-hmm. Has Bill Belichick ever had fun at anything?
I'm sure he has. Like, I've seen, you know, you hear the behind the scenes of, like, look, we saw him at the NFL draft with Pat McAfee. He was stoned out of his mind, or he was drinking a little bit.
Blitzed.
I mean, he's pretty loose, which I imagine Bill Belichick, his girlfriend's like 20.
Yeah, she's young.
I mean.
She's a baby.
Look, he may do the buttoned up D-hole thing where it's like, you know, we don't want to talk about anything. I think he likes to have some fun.
Yeah. Well, with her anyway.
Yeah. I mean, not a buttoned up D-hole. God, that's going to be a drop. But Kirk Cignetti at Indiana, remember, he let everybody know that I'm a winner. He's a big fan of winning, and you're going to find out. I believe his exact words were, you're going to find out, bitch.
Yeah, something along those lines.
So good for him.
Yeah.
He's like, that's the kind of spice that I like in my life.
Yeah, he takes it from the old Uncle Baby Billy.
You about to find out.
Yes, very much so. He sent out a note to IU students. I'm going to read it in its entirety because it's great. It starts off like very coachy and motivational. Like, you've seen these to, like, hey, we really, like, you know, Happy Valley when they do their whiteouts. Like, hey, come out, really give it. West Virginia, Morgantown, hey, get out, get turned up. Like, Pullman, you know what to do, Palouse. Get drunk, you know, have some fun. We're trying to do something special Saturday, and I want our IU students there to experience it. It's been 57 years. That's the Titanic meme. It's been 84 years. It's been 57 years since IU football started a season 5-0, which, hey, Cignetti backing it up already.
Right.
Remember, they beat the brakes out of, was that UCLA? Yeah.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Was hung a 40-something on them. Again, it's been 57 years since IU football started a season 5-0. We have a chance to do it Saturday with a win over a very good Maryland team. We have every intention of making it happen. I'm asking you for your support. We need you there for the opening kick. We need you there in the stands being loud in the first quarter, and in the second quarter, and the third, and most importantly, in the fourth. When the clock hits zero and we're 5-0, I want you to be there to celebrate a historic win with us. The tailgates can wait. The parties can wait. And if you need to study, that can wait, too.
Yeah.
There are good things happening in IU football, and you're a big part of it. I look forward to seeing you there for all four quarters on Saturday. Signed, Kurt Cignetti.
Well, we all know how many kids are going to be studying at noon on a Saturday.
Brother. Saturdays aren't for studying.
Yeah. Because that is the big nooner this week.
But I do appreciate it.
I guess, no, I'm sorry. It's not the big nooner. It's on Big Ten Network.
But it is a noon kick.
Yes.
Turnout, Bloomington. You're not a basketball school anymore. You are a football school. And look, I have been a big proponent of, when you're talking about the new Big Ten, new SEC, new Big 12, get rid of the freeloaders.
Mm-hmm.
Vandy, IU, Purdue. Hell, Oregon State should have been playing Purdue for a spot in the Big Ten. And with the ass-kicking they gave Purdue, they should have got their spot in the Big Ten. Because right now, your geography is the literal only thing that is keeping you from being on the outside looking in.
Yeah, you just happened to be in a conference that didn't fall apart.
And even then, it's not just in the conference. There's plenty of other teams that are like in that region, like going, help me.
Yeah.
It's just they right place, right time.
Yeah.
Stupid circumstances.
Grandfathered
like,
in.
Yeah, it's like, no. And shouts to IU for going, hey, whoa, we're not freeloading. We're not freeloading. Just in case everybody knows, we care. We want to be good.
Yeah.
And then so they go out and they get Cignetti. They bring him over from JMU, who took a program from FCS up and to be incredibly successful. What were they finished? 23rd in the country last year?
Something like that. And the only reason they couldn't play in a bowl game was because of the mandatory waiting period.
Yeah. We're so good they had to put a waiting period on us.
Which I find that odd too.
Right?
Why do you have a 2-year probationary period for a team that is moving up a classification?
Look, if you're moving down,
that I get
because like, yeah, you're supposed to have more resources. But if they come up in 2 years, them's the breaks.
Exactly.
Tell everybody else to get the rest together.
Right, yeah. Get bent.
Right?
Yeah.
But Cignetti's not the only one chirping. It's happening in the NFL, too. And this is the mildest form of chirp from Cignetti. I just like that he's telling students to go get drunk.
Yeah.
go get lit for the game and get loud.
Yeah, get drunk and get loud.
I mentioned the Packers and Vikings game, and I'm remiss because I did not mention this, even though I had this on my list. There's a fun little matchup in that game between wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, Justin Jefferson, and cornerback Jair Alexander. This has gone back a couple years. It goes back to their matchup in week one of the 2022 season where Jefferson caught nine passes for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns in a 23-7 Vikings victory. Jair Alexander, who got torched, called that performance a fluke and mocked his gritty when the Packers held him to one catch of 15 yards in their 41-17 win later that season in week 17. DBs and wide receivers, they are chirping this year.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah. That's always a great flex, though, huh? Is after you get torched, you'd be like, oh, it's a fluke.
Hey, but I mean, you know, you look, DBs have to be goldfish because you have to have the confidence that if after you get torched, go back out there and do the stupid seatbelt dance. And
you wait until the next time to see, you know, if you do lock him down. And then that's when you chirp and be like, I knew that one game was a fluke.
Hey. Just saying.
Yeah.
But Justin Jefferson has come out and said, as it pertains to Jair Alexander chirping him, he likes to do that stuff to get inside someone's head. I'm not really tripping on that. I'm going to just get my gritty in his end zone. So I'm not tripping on all that. I'm excited for this matchup. Basically, I'm not talking, but here, let me talk. I'm not talking, but here, let me talk. Yeah. I'm not talking. Let me talk.
Let me talk.
Again, the tweet of the century as it pertains to NFL players is just perfect. And it always comes back to wide receivers. And you can say the same for DBs. They're in kind of the same category. You know, quarterback says, all glory to God. Running back says, mer. Tight end says, derp. Wide receiver says, speak softly because your enemy carries a knife.
Yeah.
Because they're crazy.
Yep.
DBs and wide receivers have to have this level of bravado and confidence because in a game that is so reliant on team, no one is more alone than those two groups. You get pit against each other in man-to-man coverage where a wide receiver's ability, his speed, his footwork, deception, all of those things get tested regularly. And plenty of teams run zone too high, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But there there is nowhere more where you are in space tested one-on-one.
Out there on an island.
Than those guys. Yeah. Look, and if you go talk about the physicality, it's totally different. It's the offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, that kind of stuff, running backs. But when you're talking about being in space and like things that you can go, look, this guy did X, this guy did Y, the output is Z. Like, you can see it because those, like, you were in man coverage, you were running a route, who beats who? Who makes plays? And so because of that, it forms this mentality. It forms this thing in their brain where it kind of devolves into caveman brain. Like, it's what it is. Like, I beat you a stick.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, well, I lived, so next time when I beat you a stick and I take you back to my place, you know, that's the way this goes.
Right.
And it goes back and forth, to the point where you get Courtland Finnegan and Andre Johnson, and Andre Johnson goes to beat Courtland Finnegan's ass. Have you seen the story about that? Andre Johnson's doing his post-career tour, and he started talking about that. Yeah, I wish I had the audio, but it's you would have had to clean it up to a level. It probably would have been usable. But basically, he said the beef was brewing so bad before that game.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Finnegan was out at a club they were at with Andre Johnson, his boys, and Andre Johnson's boys were like, do you want us to beat the hell out of him? He's like, no, I'm going to handle it. And then the next day, he went out there and handled it.
There we go.
Backed it up.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
Aqib Talib on the other side of that for DBs and Michael Crabtree, you know, snatching his chain and
beating
the hell out of him. But I'm all for this. I am all for this. I love this. It adds intrigue. It adds a little. Look, does it add to the game? Probably not. But if you're saying, does it add to the entertainment aspect of it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. There's a reason why the WWE and AEW and all of the wrestling, how much of the sport, quote unquote, is about the actual wrestling?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's the storylines.
Yeah.
Look, and I always want it to be about the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking with actual sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL. I want it to be about the sport. But I like the spiciness. I like players putting out, again, get away from Bill Belichick. Everybody wants to talk about, oh, T.O.'s a problem. Look, there's levels to it. Chirp. Everybody, chirp.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't need you to show up with your feet frozen like Antonio Brown. I don't. You know, you don't need to go full CTE ESPN insane. Like, there's levels.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need any Aaron Hernandez's.
No.
Have you started watching that or watched the new doc?
No, I have not.
My wife was watching it the other night.
My wife started to watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no way. It's our wives watching docs about people being murdered?
Yeah. That's a lot of what I watch.
I just can't get into stuff like that, man. Like,
or I guess, this one wasn't a doc. I think it was an actual story. I don't remember.
It's the FX. The new one's the FX.
Okay, there we go.
So it's like, it's a entertainment documentary.
Gotcha.
There's got to be a docutainment.
There we go.
Does that sound good?
That works for me.
I like that. That's what we do now. We put words together, make compound words to actually say things. But yeah, I started kind of watching it, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Because, you know, they cast people, and you're like, that looks weird. That it's like the Showtime one. There was the other Lakers show where the casting was, it was the Clippers. The Clippers.
Gotcha.
They got Donald Sterling right with Al Bundy, but the rest of them was the guy that was playing Blake Griffin. You're like, what the hell is? No, that can't work.
Right.
So, all right. Coming up in hour number three, we'll pivot back to the NFL. There's a little bit of a question. Is scoring has kind of fluctuated. One thing has popped up. Why are red zone offenses so bad? We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.